It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There's a house on 8th Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids that has been turning heads. It's a property that was in bad shape. It had been known as a local drug house and a blight in the neighborhood. Now it has been fully renovated and painted in a surprising way. The house looks like a giant pride flag, all the colors of the rainbow, including black and brown, representing the LGBTQ plus community. It was purchased last June by Guchmet Properties in Cedar Rapids. And to tell us the story behind this colorful redesign, we have invited Eric Guchmet, the owner of the company, and Sandy Locke, operations director, to talk with us. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Charity.
And hello, Sandy.
Hi there.
Thank you both so much for being here today. And Eric, I'll start with you. This is not the first brightly colored house you are responsible for in Cedar Rapids. Tell me a little bit about what's behind this very colorful approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been buying houses and rehabbing them for 11 years now. And one of the things that I've noticed is that just doing work on the inside definitely transforms the house. But when you start to put some love on the exterior, then it actually starts to transform the neighborhood. There was a program that the Affordable Housing Network has done and is doing in the Wellington Heights neighborhood of Cedar Rapids. And I saw them paint very boldly a number of houses starting about 5 years ago. And I saw how that really had an impact. And that was probably the first inspiration. And then we have, you know, just taken baby steps and done a little bit bolder every time to the point where, yeah, now we have the rainbow house.
Give me an example of some of the other bold color choices you've made.
Oh, yeah. So the Perkins house that we have, which is at 1228 3rd Avenue Southeast, is a Queen Anne Victorian built in 1896. And I think we've got a 6 color scheme on it, which is very loud. To say the least. I think that there's a light and a dark purple, a light and a dark peach, and then a light and a dark blue, maybe. And then we also have the Clemens house, which I think is 5 or 6 colors, which is also pretty loud. And probably there's, I think we've got on deck maybe 2 houses this, at least this year to paint. So definitely some exciting stuff to come.
Well, so it's eye-catching. People pay attention to it, but you mentioned seeing the benefits of painting houses like this. What are the benefits?
Yeah, so if you, especially in the neighborhoods where we operate, because we are drawn for a number of reasons to the older core neighborhoods, that's usually where you have homes that are a little bit more run down, that can use a little bit more love. And that's also areas where the neighborhood as a whole will be a little bit more run down. And if you go into a neighborhood where all of the houses are a little bit shabby, it's very common for them to all be very muted in their color palette on the exterior. So when we come in and kind of make a splash, so to speak, you know, that kind of communicates to people living in the neighborhood, people investing in the neighborhood, and then there's the community at large that that change is coming. And so, yeah, and change can be a number of different things, but in this case, change is, you know, redevelopment and people fixing the houses up. So,
have you had any complaints about these bold color choices?
Actually, no. So essentially, what it is, and this is kind of the beauty of this being a group effort, a team effort, and a company-wide effort, is because we have multiple houses, there's not the same pressure to make any one house the perfect color scheme. Because if there was one perfect set of colors in the abstract, then we would in theory want to paint every single house that color. But this, by having multiple houses, gives us the liberty to try different things and, you know, and go a little bit bolder. And at the same time as well, especially the rainbow house, there is one other colorful house on the street, which is the Ambetz building, which is a red, white, and blue scheme. But what happens then is then other people in the neighborhood have the kind of have the liberty or the license to go a little bit bolder than your standard white or gray or beige colors. And they can go a little bit bolder without feeling like they are the boldest on the block. And so this kind of, I think, helps encourage people to think outside of the box a little bit.
Sandy, with your organization, of course, we're talking about redevelopment. We're talking about some urban renewal here. There can be concerns about gentrification that goes along with this. It's one thing to help build a neighborhood back up. It's another thing to build it up to a point where the people who've lived there historically can no longer afford to live there. And I know that's a really important concern to you. Tell me about your approach.
Yeah, gentrification is definitely a bit of a loaded word. It's something that we work hard not to fall into that particular trap. So though we are buying older homes, more rundown homes, and we are spending quite a bit of money to revitalize them, we're really careful to make sure that the final rent amount that home will end up being rented out to is well within the average population's means. And so if I had to guess, I would say at least 70 to 80% of our tenants fall, you know, below the average median income for the Cedar Rapids area. And so, yeah, we try to make sure that we are still affordable and we are giving people a really beautiful place to live and show them that you know, they deserve that.
Let's talk specifically about the Rainbow House. Sandy, give us the background on this house. What is its history? What brought you to this property?
Yeah, so when Eric bought this house, I think we were kind of on this kick of doing the big bold colors outside. It was last summer, and we've already done a couple other ones. That's when the ball really got rolling, and he saw that the way the siding of the house was laid out was such that it would be perfect for the Philadelphia Pride flag. And I, you know, I said, well, you know, what else is great is we've been looking for a way to give back within our means as a smaller company. And so if we did go ahead and take this stance, you know, what else could we do with it? And by going the route of making it ultimately a short-term furnished rental, we will have the leniency to allow it to become an advocacy space that we can give different groups in the area that would like to use it free of charge. So it was just a really nice marrying of all the things we were trying to do, which was brighten up the neighborhood and also find a way to give back that made sense within the framework of our business.
Eric, why don't you fill us in a little bit on the purposes? Sandy just mentioned that this would be a short-term rental property. Tell me how you see the house being used.
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of diversity in kind of every facet of the house, including its uses. It lays out really well to have group gatherings, a dozen people, maybe two dozen people. And so we saw that from an early stage, and that was really exciting. And then also its location closer to the river, closer to downtown in Cedar Rapids, is more desirable and easier for that purpose. At the same time, the landscape as far as rental properties is definitely evolving and has been over the last 5 or 10 years significantly. And so it is now more common to have people coming to town for a short term who are looking for something besides a hotel. And so we've been kind of exploring and experimenting with this concept to see what we could do to contribute in that space. There's a couple big name platforms that do this, but what we're looking for is at some point to get outside of the platforms, which come with their own limitations. And so my vision would be that in 5 years we could kind of take this system internal so that people could approach us directly without having to pay a fee to a third party and schedule a time to use the space for events or schedule a time to for some sort of a stay, whether that be a night or a week or a month or a few months. I think that it, because of the layout of the space, I think it makes more sense as for this purpose. It doesn't have quite as much closet space. The house was built in the year 1900, which was a time before people had the large wardrobes that they do today. And so for a long-term stay, if someone was going to stay for a year like the rest of our rentals, I don't think it would be quite as, I mean, it would still be comfortable, obviously, but, you know, that would become a more acute issue. But for a short term, I think that this makes a lot of sense and events.
Have you already been interacting with LGBTQ groups that might be interested in using this property?
Yeah, the Stonewall Democrats from Co. actually were the ones who came out and showed up to help us originally paint the house, which we definitely really appreciate. And we have offered this space to them for their meetings and events, blank check going forward. And then there's a couple other groups that we've also lightly touched base with to see what the interest is.
What has response been like? Because it's one thing to paint a house bright colors. It's another thing to paint a house like a pride flag. I mean, you're really making a statement here. It's not just about color. It's about a core belief of yours. So, Eric, how have people been reacting?
Yeah, I think that it's more socially common in the 21st century for companies to take a stand. It's just in Cedar Rapids less common for maybe small companies. And so if there's a little bit of a surprise, I don't think the surprise is that a company is taking a stand, just that it's a local company. People are used to seeing national news of national companies or national ad campaigns from national companies. They're just not used to seeing it as much local. So far, everyone's been super supportive. Everyone from the city to the neighbors to the contractors to people just driving by and people online. So that while there was definitely a little bit of anxiety, you know what I mean, just the uncertainty of not knowing how this was going to go, I think that that's definitely all been swept away because, everyone has been so supportive.
Has it honestly been universally supportive?
I mean, if you go through the comments online, I'm sure that you could find some trolls. But that's not where we live.
I'm curious with the groups that you're offering space for, there are, of course, people who are homophobic. There are people who are uncomfortable, and might be abusive in some way. Does it feel vulnerable for an LGBTQ plus group to be meeting in a house with a giant pride flag on it? And maybe in some people could see that as creating a target.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very good question and very good point. I think that obviously everyone has to kind of make their own personal choices about their own personal best interests and well-being. The house has a security surveillance system with all of the high-tech gadgets that the Nest/Google universe has to offer. It's something like 2.5 blocks from the Cedar Rapids police station. And so I think that this would be in a very safe area, and it's as safe as we on our side can make it. It's not my place to tell people what to do, or you know what I mean, where they should draw the line on as far as their own personal safety. All I can do is be supportive and try to tee up the space to the best of my abilities, which is, I think, what we really try to do.
I can imagine that it has already become something of a tourist attraction. Have you heard about people just driving by taking pictures?
Oh, we've seen people driving by taking pictures. I have a friend who lives in Colorado who a couple months ago messaged me her son who is LGBTQ had showed her a picture of a rainbow house in Cedar Rapids, and Cedar Rapids is where she had grown up, and she sent it to me, and then I confirmed to her that yes, in fact, that was our house that had been painted in that way.
What are your
plans? So apparently it's made its way all the way to Colorado.
All right. What are your plans for the future? What's on the horizon for you, Eric?
Yeah, I think that we are 11 years on, we are now starting to see that we have more energy and more power to give than we ever have before. We started out by just doing one house at a time, and it's real easy to feel like a small fish with one house in a sea of, you know what I mean, of city or of town. And so at this point, we now can see that our efforts can have an impact not just on individual people's lives, but on neighborhoods and on the city as a whole. That even even just having this conversation with the city, it was amazing how much city staff was supportive of two things, not just us painting the house in this way, but also of us taking a dilapidated property and fixing it up. And so now that we are a little bit more on the map, we're really looking forward to finding more ways to bring positive change.
Yeah. Sandy, do you have anything you want to add to that as you look to the future?
Yeah, I feel like this platform of doing the Rainbow House has also made us really take a close look at what our core values are as a company. And we are essentially landlords. That's where we kind of got our start, was rehabbing old rundown houses and turning them into beautiful rentals. And so being able to kind of branch out a little bit just makes us excited to do more fun things for the tenants as well. I know in the future we'd like to incentivize them to keep bees and do some community gardening. And, you know, just getting kind of the wind in our sails a little bit has been really refreshing. And I'm excited to see what other ideas we get to bring all the way to fruition.
And do you have another dream color scheme in your head?
You know, it really just depends on the house. Eric, actually, believe it or not, he lets me do a lot of the beautiful work inside, but he's really the color master. He's the louder, the better. So that's actually more on him. So we'll see what he thinks up next.
All right, Eric, do you have a dream color scheme in mind?
I would actually love to do to be involved in a whole neighborhood in some sort of a way, whether that would be us in some sort of an ownership capacity or some sort of a partnership with a group of neighbors. I travel extensively, and it's real common, especially in the Latin countries and the Caribbean, to see whole neighborhoods decorated, and that gives then the whole neighborhood a status as being a destination. And I would love nothing more than to see a whole block painted in a really exciting way. And yeah, even if it was something to where it was partnering with just a partnership with a bunch of neighbors, even if we had no ownership in that neighborhood, I think that would just be the coolest thing. Right. And Cedar Rapids honestly has some amazing houses for this purpose. There's whole neighborhoods of 100-year-old craftsman houses.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what comes out of that. We're out of time. Eric Gutschmick and Sandy Locke, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Gutschmick Properties in Cedar Rapids. We learned the story behind the Rainbow House. This is Talk of Iowa.